Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Mina, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Quest Holding conference call to present and discuss the nine-month 2022 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Quest Holding management. Gentlemen, you may now proceed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alexandros Roustas, and I'm the Investor Relations Officer of Quest Holding. I'm sitting here with our CEO, Mr. Apostolos-Georgantzis, and our CFO, Mr. Marcos Bitsakos. We are here to present to you the financial results of the nine-month period of 2022 and answer your questions. Now we'll give the microphone to Mr. Marcos Bitsakos for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon. I'm Marcos Bitsakos, CFO for Quest Group. In broad terms, the third quarter of the year was quite positive in revenue and profitability creation. Adding this quarter to the first half of the year, we concluded the first nine months with a 10% increase in the consolidated revenues. At the same time, EBITDA is reduced by 5.7% versus last year, and earnings before tax fell short by 64.5%. However, this decline vis-à-vis last year was projected from the beginning of the year because of last year's divestments and extraordinary capital gains. As a reminder, I will summarize this last year's extraordinary items that create the distortion to Quest Group third quarter bottom line. Up to September 2021, the discontinued activity of Carling generated sales close to 32 million euros, EBITDA of 11.7 million, and earnings before tax of 6.8 million. The capital gains from Carling divestment in September 2021 amount to 75.8 million on a group level. Lastly, the capital gains, which is non-organic result from the sale of Teka participation, were about 1.9 million. Having all these substantial amounts included in last year profit and loss account, this year's EBITDA, and mainly earnings before tax, are artificially shown considerably lower than 2021. To sum up, in the first nine months of 2022, total consolidated revenues reached 739 million, increased by 10.5% versus last year. Our consolidated EBITDA, amounting to 54.5 million, is reduced by 5.7%. Consolidated EBT, earnings before tax, amounting 42.5 million, is decreased by 64% versus last year, with all the disclaimers already mentioned for last year extraordinary amounts. Lastly, earnings after tax and non-controlling interest reached 31.9 million, 70% less than last year. Nevertheless, the adjusted comparison, which excludes the discontinued operation and Carling's capital gains, shows a quite promising growth on all P&L lines year-over-year. For example, sales are higher by 16%, EBITDA is improved by 17.8%, and earnings before tax is increased by 13%. The most important contributor to this notable increase in sales and profit figures is the entire Apple ecosystem, while Unisystems, Intelli, and Klima Sector have also considerable contribution to the Quest Group overall growth. Group's net debt amounts to 28 million, as opposed to 81 million net cash on the comparable period and 84.5 million net cash in December 2021. Last year's large net cash was the outcome of the cash inflow from Carling divestment, while in 2022, this cash was utilized for distribution of increased dividends of 61 million in February and June 2022, 20 million increase in air condition inventory, a short-term 30 million bank loan to finance large new IT projects, and 28.8 million of investments. Now I will pass you over to Alexandros, who will give us a sector overview.
Thank you, Marco. Diving deeper into our segments, we observe that the commercial activity segment, consisting of five main companies, InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm, Quest Online, however, with also several newcomers, namely ClimaQuest, Focus, Team Candy, IQT Cyprus, and YEV, as of the 1st of September. So this segment grew by 19.4% at the sales level, while EBT increased by 11% year over year. The sales growth comes mainly from Apple product sales, companies iSquare and iStorm, and Clima, while on the opposite side, e-commerce sales are lower compared to last year's first 9 months, where there was no physical retail alternative due to the lockdowns during the first 5 months. The reason of the decrease of the profit margin is mainly attributed to the one-off personnel allowance of 2022, the lack of 2021 government one-off support for the lockdown, and the weaker e-commerce profitability of 2022. It is noted that 2022 EBT includes extraordinary profits of about 1.3 million euro from the sale of an equity participation in the company Akisonus. Now, regarding the IT services sector, consisting of Unisystems, IntelliSolutions and Team Candy, the sector also improved by roughly 14% in sales and by 41% in EBT. Demand for IT services continues to grow due to the high number of digital transformation projects in the EU, while there is an upcoming opportunity for the digitization of the public sector, which is still under development. Furthermore, Intelis acquisition improved EBT by roughly 1.5 million euro. Postal services, which is ACS, the sales of the segment and EBT increased marginally compared to the 9 months of 2021. The results were mainly driven by the drop in e-commerce during the first 5 months, since last year's parcel deliveries were boosted by lockdowns. There is also an impact by higher transportation costs related to the increase in the cost of fuels. And last but not least, Quest Energy segment sales were higher by 10% and EBT by 41% due to the addition of 6.2 megawatts of power in the portfolio. Now let me pass over to Apostolos Georgantzis to provide the outlook.
Thank you, Alexandre. Good afternoon from me too. I'm Apostolos Georgantzis, Quest Group Managing Director. As Marcos and Alexandros explained, regarding the continuous operations, all our sectors and most of our subsidiaries grew in sales during the first 9 months of 2022, actually with some of them presenting double-digit growth. Profitability also includes during mainly the first quarter and the third quarter, while the second quarter being nearly at last year levels, excluding the one-off personnel allowance of about 1.4 million. It should be noted that the third quarter was the strongest quarter with double-digit growth in both sales and profitability. Therefore, the diversification of our businesses seems to be helping us once again to move in a positive ground in this challenging year. In more detail, the outlook per sector regarding continued operations is the following. Regarding the commercial activity sector, we expect a mild growth in 2022 sales and profitability versus last year. Regarding the IT services sector, the continuous demand for IT services is positively affecting the segment, while it is also increasing in backlog of signed projects, which is exceeding 470 million euros. Therefore, sales and profitability are estimated to grow for 2022 versus last year. Profitability will also be boosted by IntelliSolution contribution, which was acquired at the end of 2021 by at least 1.5 million. Now, going to the postal services sector, for the whole year 2022, we estimate sales and profitability to have a mild growth coming from the second half, driven by e-commerce growth. Sales and profitability grew by double-digit rates in the third quarter, even while profitability is affected by the increased transportation costs. Our new modern automated sorting hub is in full operation since the end of the second quarter and significantly increases our capacity for growing volumes. It will also gradually improve our operational efficiency in the future in this sector. Finally, for the renewable energy production sector, which is Quest Energy, our current estimation for the whole year is for growth in both sales and profitability, driven mainly by the 2021 and 2022 investments. Now, on a consolidated basis regarding continued operation, our current estimation for the whole year is for a low double-digit growth in sales and a high single-digit growth in profitability versus 2021. The current outlook, of course, assumes a stable economic environment. Having said that, the group continues to have a solid commercial and financial position to successfully address any further challenges that might arise. Quest Group current cash position is solid, with above 200 million in cash and available credit lines, allowing us to continue our planned growth investments and to endure any hardships. Our investment plans for this year include about 50 million in CapEx and investments related mostly to growth investments, and we continue the plan that we have designed with no drawbacks. These investments mainly regard to the infrastructure for courier services, the expansion of product sector to the Klima ERCO market through the acquisition of YED, which is the official distributor of Toyotomi, and the increase of the energy portfolio. YED acquisition is a main step of the group entry in the promising Klima sector, which is estimated to grow in the coming years due to the climate change. Now, let me pass back to Alexandro.
Okay, that was a brief overview of the 9 months of 2022, as well as the outlook for the full year. We are now happy to take your questions.
The first question is from the line of Sviriadi Natalia with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. I will start with the last thing you said about the investments. Do you have information of how they will move into 2023? The 50 million you said was for 2022, for the courier, Klima, and increase in the portfolio, or does this also encompass the next year? And maybe I would like some, if you have anything on your plans on the energy segments, and maybe, you know, if you can give us some color there or an indication of where the tariffs will be shaping in any new solar panels versus the old ones we had there. I have one or two more questions, but on the other businesses, on the courier business. Maybe we could take this later.
Hi, Natalia, this is Markus Mitsakos. Now, if I clearly understood, let's say, your question, because it was not only just one, correct me if I'm wrong on the process, let's say. Your first question regarding the CapEx and new investments for 2023, we have not yet finalized our budget process. However, what I can say right now is that we will continue on the same, most likely, pace like in 2022, but with the remark that the process is not yet finalized. So we are actively looking for new acquisition in the energy sector. We have some additional capex that is required from ACS, plus the new entry, let's say, to our group of YED Dimitriou. We will be able to be more accurate, let's say, in 30 days from now, when everything will be finalized. Okay. This is as far as the CapEx is concerned. Now, your second question was?
My second question was regarding the investments in the energy sector, if you have identified anything, you know, new solar panels, and Maybe if you have any indications on the tariffs on the of these add-on installations, how much per kilowatt hour, you know, you can get out of the new ones, because I understand that it's lower than the older numbers.
Well, the new installation has nothing, cannot be compared, let's say, with the old ones. Mm-hmm. I remind you that the old ones and most of the parts that we currently operate are with feed-in tariffs, so the prices that we are getting are quite high. We have as an average more than 200 euros per megawatt hour. Now, the new ones, depending on a case by case, let's say, it's around between, I would say, 60 to 70 euros per megawatt hour. What we actively, what we are doing in the energy sector, first of all, looking back, as we already mentioned, we have additional 6.2 megawatts in our 2022 portfolio. So mm-hmm. in 2023 we have identified some potential targets, let's say, for acquisition. I'm not sure that we can successfully, let's say, conclude those acquisitions. It depends not on us, but mainly on the appetite and the willingness of the sellers. We saw quite a lot of times the seller going back and forth on their willingness, let's say, to sell their packs. So I'm not sure. Hopefully we'll add at least another 5 to 10 megawatts next year. This is our target.
Okay, that was pretty clear what I was looking for. I also had a question on the courier business. Well, we saw improved margins in the 9-month results, and I was wondering if this is something sustainable, and maybe are the volumes down on higher pricing, or how has this been going with the new infrastructure also inside the you know, and the and using it for the courier business.
Yeah, this is Apostolos. Natalia, hi, how are you? Regarding the courier business, the situation is that after the first 5-6 months during which we could not really compare the number to last year, because last year we had the lockdown and the volume was booming back then. Here in the first 6 months, the volume was down. So in the third quarter, which is a very comparable period, we have seen volume growth as well as prices growth. And this managed to, we managed to outperform any additional cost that we had due to the fuel and the transportation, thus improving margins. To that image, the new hub also helps, that because we have a much more efficient operation, and we hope that this is hopefully sustainable and could be slightly improved gradually in the future. I don't know whether I answered the question.
Yes, it was very good. I wasn't expecting a very big margin improvement there, so it was good to see that. Thank you.
I would like also to add up to Marco's reply about next year investments, just to give you a general understanding, is that our profitability allow us to have, let's say, if we exclude the running capex that our businesses have, a size of about 30 to 40 million cash inflow from operations. Therefore, this is mainly diverted towards growth investments. And this is the main firepower we have for investing in new areas of growth, which could be either infrastructure or solar parks or possibly M&A. Should we have any significant opportunities in front of us, we won't hesitate also to move to something different with higher capex. But this is something that need to be seen in the future.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
The next question is from the line of Kalogeropoulos Yannis with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Good evening. I have a couple of questions. The first one relates to your inclusion in the FTSE 25 index since the beginning of this year, since the mid of the year, of this year. Are you considering doing anything in order to enhance your free float after the inclusion in the index? That's the first question. The second one relates to your balance sheet. Would you consider it possible to see a reduction in the net debt of the 28 million that you presented in the 9th month results due to the increased working capital requirements and the capex you had plus the dividends that you distributed? Then if you could comment on your dividend policy for the current year, given the fact that your profitability is doing quite well. That was the third question. My fourth one has to do with the running rates on the retail segment for Q4 and 22. Should we expect something bigger, higher than the rates, than the growth rates we had, you have presented in the nine-month result? And to my opinion, you have two valuable assets in your consolidated balance sheet, namely Unisystems and ACS. Is there any possibility that you would consider selling some part of these companies or even listing them on the Athens Stock Exchange, let's say for next year, for 2023? Thanks. That's in order to unhide the internal value you have in the group. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Yannis, for the questions. I will try to, these apostles, I will try to go after them one by one. You could please correct me if I forget something, and my colleagues will help me here. Now, regarding the FTSE 25 and the free float, this is a constant discussion we have for many years. It's under, let's say, examination, but yet we don't have any answer regarding a possible increase of free float, which could probably come from the main shareholders who own 75%. Therefore, we could not say something more at the moment about it. Now, regarding the dividend policy, which is the third point I have written down.
Yeah, the third one.
Is that usually what we do is that according to profitability, we proceed with a dividend. Therefore, should we do better, we gradually also give a bit bigger dividend, which is during the last few years traditionally have been about 20 to 30%, let's say, of the actual profitability. I estimate that this should be something similar that would happen next year, according to the results that we're going to achieve by the end of this year. I would pass to Marco to tell you about. Sorry, I would tell you about ACS and Unisystem questions, whether we consider listing them in the stock exchange.
Or selling a part of the companies in order to unhide the value you have in the group, in your balance sheet.
The selling the part of the companies, we don't have any particular plan at the moment. However, what we always say in such situation when we get this answer is that we, should there is a right price, something that would, let's say, incorporate a big upside from the growth that we expect from these companies of the future, we would examine it. Regarding the possibility of listing them in the Greek stock exchange at the moment, it seems like that the bureaucracy and the difficulties and costs of the Greek stock exchange is not in favoring of listing smaller companies at Quest Holdings. Therefore, at the moment, we don't see or we don't have any decision in doing so. Now, about the cash, the net cash or the net debt at the end of the year, I will pass to Marco, And then there was a last question about retail, which I didn't really get it. You could please repeat
yeah,
it in a moment after
yeah.
Marcos
okay.
after Marcos reply. Marcos.
So, Gianni, this year there are a lot of peculiarities as far as the cash flow and the working capital is concerned. So I would say that the main target, let's say, that we have as a group is either to reduce slightly the 28 million net debt that we see in the third quarter, or to maintain it on the same on the same levels. There are a lot of things that are not. We have a lot of uncertainties, let's say, in front of us, even though the end of the year is quite close. And one of these is the plans, let's say, that we have, especially for the commercial sector of our business, that requires additional working capital for the inventories and the increased sales. We also anticipate by the end of the year, or in January, early 2023, a large cash payment of more than 20 million euros for a specific IT project that is already concluded. This will also change the net debt by the end of the year. To sum up, to cut the long story short, let's say, I would anticipate net debt to be in the range of 20 million up to 40 or 50 million, depending on the collection of the payment that I already mentioned. If you see last year trend, we have exactly the same net cash in Q3 and December 2021. So nothing has changed last year. Most likely we're going to have the same pattern this year also.
Okay, and Gianni, I think your last question about the rate.
The running rates for October, November, it's, let's say for Q4, regarding the retail business and especially the strong brands of the group, that is Apple and Xiaomi.
Okay. First of all, I remind you that the outlook we have given is for a growth in 2022 in sales of the specific sector and a mild growth in profitability versus last year. Now, we don't expect an increase in... First of all, there is always a seasonality during the last 3 months in the sales of this specific sector, due to the Christmas period, Black Friday, and so on and so forth. But if you compare this with last year, we don't see an accelerated rate of sales. The Apple brand, as we already said, is doing very well. However, there is some supply shortage there for the last 3 months, so perhaps we won't see an acceleration, which we may see, however, during the beginning of the next year. Regarding the other brands, more or less we see the same rate as we had till now. However, since there is a huge seasonality during the last 3 months, we wait and see.
So is it fair enough to assume that for the full year 2022, the retail business would be something like high double-digit growth as the one recorded in 9-month results?
Yeah, I think it's likely to have very likely to have a double-digit growth. It's also likely to have something below 20%, more than 50 and below 20%. But like I said before, since there is a huge seasonality in November and December, I would like to keep this, you know, to keep a disclaimer on this, because we are through this period as we speak.
Okay. That was very helpful, Alexandros. Thanks a lot, gentlemen, for answering my questions.
Thank you, Yanni.
The next question is from the line of Maisin Thibault with Gay Lussac Question. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just to come back, maybe to clarify if I understood right, you mentioned that you were planning for an increase in the profitability by high single digit for the end of the year. Is that including Cardlink for next year as the comparison basis, or is that only from continued operations?
Hi, this is Apostolos. How are you? Thank you for the question. The guidance we gave is for the continued operations. Therefore, we estimated that our revenues are going to move with a double-digit rate, probably surpassing 1 billion, while the profitability is going to move on a high single-digit rate compared always to continued operation. Therefore, the basis for last year sales and profitability, the relevant numbers to which we were referring, for sales was 916 million and for profitability, for EBITDA, was, if I will recall, about 63, 64 million. Okay?
Okay. Just to clarify something, because from the trend we are seeing on the 9 months, okay, we're seeing like a, so obviously 54.6% million in EBITDA, which is around 7.4% sorry, in margins. When we calculate specifically the Q3 numbers, you can see that the margin has improved compared to the first semester quite significantly. Maybe you made, from my calculations, you made 20 million in EBITDA in the Q3. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, as I said, the margin, the third quarter, this Apostolos again, the third quarter was very strong in all lines. We grew by high double-digit rate in overall in sales, EBITDA and EBT, whereas many of our businesses did really well. Among one of these was the courier business, which during the first half was more or less at the same level as last year. Therefore, all these putting it together, margin led to a higher margin for the third quarter, which is more or less it at the levels of 7% in terms of EBITDA to sales.
And so does that mean the Q4 will be weaker in terms of margins than the Q3?
I would say that it would be on the same level. We have to see how it ends up. We have various peculiarities for the fourth quarter. One of it is the supply chain and how the commerce sector is going to, let's say, do. During the last 2 months, as Alexandros said, which could also affect the overall profitability slightly. Last year was an we have experienced an enormous growth compared to the previous year. We have to see how this is going to, let's say, be how we finished this year in this sector. It could affect, let's say, the profitability slightly, whereas the remaining sectors would continue more or less, hopefully, with similar rates like the previous quarter, the third quarter. Therefore, overall, we don't have an exact, let's say, prediction for the fourth quarter, but I don't recall now the exact numbers, but for sure, the third quarter was extraordinary in terms of, very good in terms of profitability. I'm not sure whether we will be able to continue on that pace during the fourth quarter, because last year fourth quarter was very strong as well.
Okay.
And we had also some extraordinary positive numbers last year, which we don't have this year. But this year profitability is more organic, let's say I would call it, throughout the year compared to last year. Therefore, it's also more recurring for the future.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Dear all, we would like to thank you for your participation and the interest in our company, and we hope to see you soon again. Have a nice afternoon.